Hi, welcome again to another episode of Dangerous But Good. Craig Wilkinson here, joined by a great friend of mine, Steve Mululu, and we'll get on to him now. The whole concept of the show is how you can be the very best version of yourself, how you can be your best physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, so that you can have the greatest impact for good on the world. And today we're going to talk about physicality, how to be your best physical version of yourself. It's something that so many people neglect. It's something that so many people get to a certain age and they just let themselves go. You've heard the statement or the saying, you know, when you get to 40, you develop a bump. When you get to 50, things begin to sag. But it doesn't have to be that way. There's a beautiful, one of my favorite statements by the philosopher Socrates, and I'll read it to you. It says, "No man," and by that I'm sure he includes woman, "no man, no woman has the right to be an amateur in the matter of physical training. It is a shame for a man to grow old, for a woman to grow old, without seeing the beauty and strength of which his or her body is capable." What a profound statement, and something that very few of us take seriously. Being in good physical condition has unbelievable benefits. You'll be in better physical health, better mental health, better spiritual health. Your relationships will improve. Your confidence will improve. You'll look better. You'll feel better. Every aspect of your life will be better. And to top it all up, even your sex life will improve. There's just no downside to being physically in excellent shape. And I'm joined by Steve Mululu, a great friend of mine. We go back a long way. I just said to Jack, our producer here, that you need a wide-angled camera to capture the physique of this man, Steve. He's a mountain of a man. He's got a great heart, a huge heart, but his physicality is just something that people admire. When you walk down a street with Steve, you get lots of stares, lots of looks, because people just look with admiration at him. And Steve, so good to have you on the show, brother. I mean, I've trained with Steve, and it's a humbling experience. It's a humbling experience. Not many people make me feel small, but Steve's one of them. But Steve, welcome, man, and great to have you on board.
No, Greggy, thanks. Thanks for inviting me, man. It's always nice to shoot the breeze with you.
Absolutely. And I mean, this is one of your favorite topics. I mean, you've got a broad range. Steve does podcasts as well and broadcasts, and does a lot of work with men and women around health and fitness, but also health and fitness of the mind and the heart. But Steve, how did you get into this whole physical fitness and training? It's something you've done all your life and done so well.
I think we have the long and the short of the story. Mm-hmm. But I will give you the short of the story. I didn't get into physical fitness out of choice. No. I got into fitness because of more desperation than anything else. Now, I was born in a big family in the western part of Kenya. My father is a man that is read only one chapter in the Bible, that procreate and multiply. So
be fruitful,
you know. So what he's done a lot, we have a lot of kids, and being born in a rural setting, it means one thing, that he didn't invest in his education, because traditionally a man's wealth is defined by the number of hands that he's got, and especially the number of sons that he has.
Okay.
So I was an extra farmhand. To my father, I was wealth, and my life was already predestined. I'm going to have to grow up, work on the farm, take care of the cattle, get married, have kids, and continue the cycle.
Wow.
So at one point I looked at that, and it was like, this ain't going to be me. This is not the kind of life that I want for myself. And of course, the next step is moving from the rural areas, and you go straight into the city. And the city lights always call. City lights, they promise heaven but give you hell when you get there. When I got into the city, it was a totally different lifestyle. To survive in the city, you need very specific skills. And in the society we live in, these skills need to come from tertiary education, which is school. Now, going there, I was at a very big disadvantage. The only kind of work that I could get in the marketplace was exactly what I was running away from. I had to use my physicality because that's what I knew. First job I got was to get into what we call the Kenyan Cereal Board. And it was simply leaning forward in front of a truck, They put two sacks of maize on it, and you walk into the store, you climb up and you pack it. And I remember I walked into that place. I looked at people around. There were so many old people there. And I asked one guy there, how long have you been here? And he looked at me, he laughed, and he said, you remind me of me. And I'm like, what do you mean? He said, I came here when I was young like you. And I remember at that point, I took off my overall and I said, I can't do this. Straight away, I didn't. Now, what do I do next? So the next thing was, what do I do that is physical, but is not as physical as what I was doing? And that's how I got into physical fitness.
Okay.
I've started boxing, I started running. I had to use the skill that I had been given
right
in the environment that I have, that I can use to progress my life forward. So I got into fitness purely, it was the low-hanging fruit for me.
It was an escape from where you were.
It was an escape, yeah. It was an escape or a bridge to where I wanted to go.
Right, right. And you had the natural physique and physicality to be able to do that, you know. You've often said that you're one of the smallest of your brothers, and I thought I'd hate to meet your brothers, man.
That's true. Yeah.
if I meet the Mululu family in a dark alley, man, yeah, my speed will be tested. But that's fantastic. And Steve, you've continued that. I mean, you've grown it and grown and grown. You run a very successful boutique gym here in Johannesburg, and you've had several branches to that. What keeps you motivated? You're passionate about the industry, about physical fitness, about physical health. I know you and I have often joked when you see someone justifying being overweight or lazy. You know, it's something that grates you. It gets to you. You know, what is it about physical fitness and health that has kept you in the industry and so passionate about it?
I think my inspiration comes from my definition of what manhood is. Mm-hmm. You know, I look at it. There are three things. Whichever way you look at it, I categorize it in three things. You've got what I call your past. If you look at your past perceived void, and then you look at your present perceived value, and then you look at your future perceived virtue, those things determine who you are as a man.
The void, value, and virtue.
And virtue.
Void, now, value, virtue.
If I look, I come from a poor family, mm-hmm. and my father never bought me a new pair of shoes. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't matter what anybody says, when I have money, I have to buy shoes, because it was a void I had mm-hmm. at that point. My definition of success is having shoes. Mm-hmm. I have to buy shoes. So if you come to my house, I have a lot of pair of shoes. Mm-hmm. I don't have to justify it to anybody else, but it fills a void in me that I didn't grow up with. Now, my present values, what does it mean to be a man? To be a man takes me back to the traditional way of the three P's. A man has procreate, provide, and protect. I cannot protect my family if I'm weak. Mm. I cannot, as much as I want peace, I cannot stand there and somebody disrespects my wife and I can't do anything about it. Mm. So I have to put myself in a position where I don't have to say that. I have to impose my will on whoever wants to impose my will on me. Mm-hmm. So that automatically forces fitness to be part of who I am. Going forward,
just to clarify, so
that's a value.
The better shape you're in, the more able you are to take care of the loved ones in your life. And more likely to live longer and be able to provide for them longer.
In any way, because if you look at what we're looking, I'm looking at it from a protection point of view. I mean, Joburg is a dangerous place. Mm-hmm. And human beings are animals, whether you like it or not. As mm-hmm. good as we are, people, we have a very lower tendency, and mm-hmm. people can be very disrespectful. Mm-hmm. So to make sure that I don't get to that position, I need to be in a position where I can fight off whoever tries to do that. Right. Now, that forces fitness into my life, and it defines what manhood is for me. Mm-hmm. Going forward, how do I want to look when I'm in my 70s? That's a question I have to look at. Now, three things that will help me answer that question. Number one, constantly. I have to constantly be running after something constantly. And what is that something that I'm constantly running after. I'm running after being the best V in 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
So I will never catch that person. I'm in constant competition, constant metamorphosis to be that person, but the best version of it. The second thing that drives fitness going forward is constantly, I need somebody that I can always go back to that appreciates how I look. And that's where my partner comes in.
Right.
There has to be a way I look at me. I don't want to put myself in a position where it has to be a duty for that person to be with me.
Right.
Like, oh God, not again. You know, because
you want them to desire you.
That's it.
To look at you and be proud of you and actually have an attraction towards you.
An attraction to you. And she also has to know that if I mess around, I don't. There's so many people that will find this person attractive. Yeah. People don't want anything that is not wanted by anyone.
Right.
Yeah. So that's, I have to make myself marketable like that. And the third thing here is, I always have to look up to someone. And that someone I'm looking up to is God himself. He's given me this body as a gift. Mm-hmm. When I take it back to him, I want to look him in the eye and say, I took the best care of this. I'm a steward of this physical meat bag that you gave me.
I like that. I mean, you have one body and it's going to last you your entire life. And there's no alternative. You can't trade it in. You can't, you know, swap it out. And you've got to look after it because that contains your entire life, doesn't it? It contains your mind, your spirit, your heart, your sexuality, your relationships. And the better you look after that, in many ways, the better you're looking after your life.
It is the best insurance policy you have for your dreams.
Right.
You cannot achieve your dreams if you lose your health.
Insurance policy you have for your dreams.
Yeah. You can't tell me how serious you are about your dreams in the future when you're killing your present life.
Yeah, I like that. You know, I read a study recently which said that the grip strength of the average 20-something-year-old man has diminished by 20% over the last 30 years, which means that men are getting weaker. Why is that, Steve? Why do you think men are actually getting weaker?
A couple of things, Greggy. First thing that you're going to have to look at here, if men, we were made to conquer. We were meant to chase. We're meant to be in control. We were built specifically to build skyscrapers. We were built to build bridges between top mountains. We were built to scale the toppest mountains in the world. We were built to walk on the moon. There's so many things that we were built to do. Mm-hmm. Now, to do that, but if you look at men around us nowadays, you rarely find that. You rarely find a man that can impose himself on life. You find the way most men talk, they've got a very clipped way of talking. They cannot even put sentences together. Most men right now, if you ask him, what do you think? He has to ask you, what do you think? He can't make up his mind. He wants to piggyback on your thinking for him. He stands for nothing.
Right.
You know, he stands for nothing. Now, we have men that know their rights, but they don't understand that every right is attached to a responsibility. If you look at men around us, unfortunately, their bodies are covered in a very high, big layer of body fat. They've got sagging boobs. And I'm not trying to attack men, but the reality of the matter is, even if you look at most men's eyes nowadays, there's no life in there. You know, there's nothing. I remember when I used to look, if I look at my father, I look my grandfather, and I remember my great-grandfather, there was a fire in the eyes. You know, you could never stare into your father's eyes. It's like because you're looking into a lion's eye. You can't. Just out of fear, out of reverence, out of respect. But when was the last time you saw that in men?
Right. The fire in the eye.
We've lost it.
The eye of the tiger. It's a beautiful thing, isn't it?
Yeah. We've lost it. We've lost it. And we've lost it. And in that loss, society's made excuses for our weaknesses. You know, we start to give medical names for laziness. You know, and when you do that, you excuse yourself from taking the responsibility.
Right.
Your life is your personal responsibility.
Yes.
Your life is your personal responsibility. And society, yes, tries to control us through food. And every man has to understand that everything that you put in, and we're talking about the podcasts you listen to, the television shows that you watch, the foods that you eat, the suit that you wear, the underwear that you wear, all those things have an impact on who you are or who you're not becoming. Right. And most of us, we've outsourced that responsibility of taking charge of our lives. Yes, the whole society is trying to make us very passive, to make us very weak, estrogen laden, so that they can control us. But it is our responsibility. God made you a man. It's your job to, if you're going to be a man, then you have to take on the responsibility of being manhood.
Yeah. I remember there was a case some time ago in the United States of someone wanting to sue McDonald's for making them fat. And I just thought at the time, it's a sign of the times, isn't it, that we're not taking responsibility for ourselves. You know, McDonald's might make bad food or good, whatever it is, but the point is they don't put it in your mouth. We buy it and we put it in our mouth and we upsize and we put. So how you look is 100% up to us. We cannot blame anyone else for that. We put the food in our mouths that we eat. It's interesting. I heard a stat a while ago. It said, you know, being in good shape is 80% kitchen and 20% gym. You can't outwork a bad diet, can you? You know, you can't outrun putting in too many calories. And so the issue of moderation in what we eat is absolutely crucial for being in shape. It's not just the gym. You can be fit and fat, can't you?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so what advice would you give, Steve? I mean, I love the fact that you're a shining example of what you talk about. You know, I mean, we've all seen gym instructors that are not in good shape themselves. We've all seen hairdressers with bad hairstyles, or you know, doctors who smoke. I mean, you know, people who don't live the life, and you live the life. What advice would you give someone who wants to get fit, wants to be in shape, but is full of excuses? Or says, I don't have time or I don't have money. You know, how would you get started? It's not necessary to sign up to a gym, isn't it? I mean, there's so much more you can do.
Remember, starting to exercise, starting to eat right, for me, the byproducts, the effects. Mm-hmm. You cannot be the best version of yourself if you're constantly avoiding pain in life. Mm. You know, you can't avoid pain if you want to grow. Where there's pain, there's growth. Pain is mandatory. Suffering is a choice. And our society of manhood as men, we try to avoid pain. We have a pill for every pain, you know. But any area of your life where you're suffering, or any area of your life where there's pain, it is your area of ignorance. Mm-hmm. It is a sign. A pain is a way of telling you there's something that you're doing that is not right.
Or avoiding.
Or avoiding.
Yeah.
But what do? We try and muzzle the pain. Now, same thing you're talking about, the guys suing McDonald's or somebody being overweight. Being overweight is not a problem. But come on, how do you become 30, 40, 50 kilos heavier without knowing you? Where were you when you were 5 kilos above normal weight? And that brings us down. It's not even a weight issue. It means that what laws do you live by? Because as a man, you have to have values. Mm-hmm. They say, what are your non-negotiables? There are things that you, as my friend, you know. If I cross this line, I'm going to put my friendship in jeopardy with this guy. Mm-hmm. Your wife, your kids, your friends must know. Now, most of us have no. What is your constitution? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What do you value?
What do you value? What is your life? What is the foundation of your life? Yeah. What is it built on? What is it that if somebody tried to tell you, they know that they're not going to see the lamb in you, the lion in you is going to get alive. Most of us don't. Now, the easiest thing for me on my side to answer your question, but I'll answer it through my lens. Mm-hmm. I've got basic rules that I live with. I've set standards for myself. There's a certain level of the floor that I cannot go. But I let the ceiling be wide. I can go as high as I can. But for example, I have to tell myself, the day I cannot be able to do 20 push-ups, I know I'm in trouble.
Right.
The day my account does not have $1,000 in it, I know I'm in trouble. Mm-hmm. The day I start finding myself, I'm still in bed by 7, I have to. You have to have those things.
Certain non-negotiables.
Yeah. Now, because the day somebody talks to me like that, even it's my friend, I have to call him aside and tell him, I don't know what got into you. I don't know what you are thinking, but I don't appreciate that tone.
Right.
And I do not appreciate being spoken to like that. If he continues, then he wants to irritate you. Mm-hmm. Then is he worth being your friend? Definitely not. Right. Now, most of us as men don't have rules. You cannot all of a sudden, you become technically insolvent, technically overweight where you've lost your wealth. You do all these things, you lose your family. These things, we have to start having rules as men around us. And I have to have rules. You as my friend, you have to know rules. You have to understand my rules. You as my friend, you have to understand what my weaknesses are. Because I expect you. I expect you to protect me from my weaknesses. There are some things I cannot.
Right.
The Lord's Prayer says, keep me away from temptation. It doesn't say, take the temptation away.
Right.
There are some things I know. So if you know that this guy has got a weakness for fair-skinned girls and he's starting to behave funny here, you look me in the eye and you tell me, don't. Right now, we're going home.
Yeah, we hold each other accountable.
Because I can see where this is going.
Right. So, Steve, I mean, what I'm gleaning from what you're saying is that being in good shape physically starts with being in good shape mentally. It starts with having self-respect, respect for your partner, respect for who you are and what you were designed to be, your destiny, and then having a set of standards that you adhere to. So, you know, I heard a fascinating statement that said, you know, external discipline without internal desire is never going to be sustainable. You know, you can set a New Year's resolution, and so many people do. You know, the gym is full on the 1st of January, but by the end of January, it's empty again because that external discipline, it's got to come from an internal desire. What do I want to be? What do I desire to be? And out of that desire comes. But let's move to the practical side of, you know, I learned this many, many years ago that you actually don't have to go to gym to be in shape. You know, to get down and do as many press-ups as you can do takes less than 2 minutes. To do sit-ups, to do chin-ups, to, you know, to walk up the stairs instead of taking the lift, instead of having that Coke, you have the water. I mean, these are things that anybody can do. It's really about moving more and eating less. And just, you know, in 10, 15 minutes a day, who doesn't have 10, 15 minutes a day? You can be in great shape. What are some of the practical things that you would suggest? I do press-ups, sit-ups, chin-ups, squats. For me, four exercises. I do them almost every day, and it's amazing how quickly you can do more and more and more, and it's incredible what it does to your body. It doesn't cost me a cent, and it doesn't take more than 10 minutes. Any other advice you can give?
You see, the words we use will either propel us forward or push us backwards, and people use that word, you've used gym. Now, gym, it comes from an old Greek word, gymnasium, which means exercise. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have to be a facility where you go.
Right, right.
We're all born in the gym. And the first gym you're given is your own body. There are so many things. There's a lot of people that even if they come to the gym, first they have to do the physical gym first. Yes. I'm not going to expect somebody to use any machine or weight and they can't do a push-up.
Right.
Majority of people that come to gym cannot even do a squat. They can't sit below their knees.
Right.
Majority of people cannot do a sit-up because people sit a lot so many times their core muscles don't exist. I will even give you very fascinating stats. I think 2 months ago we did a study of all the schools around Sunning Hill. I'm not going to mention the names for obvious reasons. And we were doing an exercise. We took 100 kids from all the schools and all the kids that are under 12. And we are only doing one exercise for them to touch their toes standing or sitting. How many do you think were able to touch their toes? And these are kids under 12. Hmm. Only two.
Two, wow.
Now, that shows, these are kids. A kid is supposed to be able to take their toe and put it in their mouth. You know, they're supposed to be that flexible. Yeah. But
So we're moving less as a human race, aren't we? We're just moving less.
The new counter is sitting. Mm. The average person now, we're sitting on average, the average person is sitting between 8 to 14 hours.
Sure.
Yeah. Now we become like dinosaurs because everything that we do is forward. One of the biggest problem, even if you see, is how they hyperextended most people's neck because we're working in front of computers. We're not moving a lot. And that's one thing that you can fix. Mm-hmm. You can simply fix. You don't need money for you to wake up in the morning, as you say. You start, even if it's one push-up, but make it into a reward system. Don't have your coffee until you do your push-ups. Don't put on your shoes. When you jump out of bed, make sure whatever is the next thing that you do. So anything that you're doing, don't brush your teeth until you do crunches. Just start with one.
Right.
It's all about building habits.
Yeah.
Most people aren't. Now, if I had to come here and talk about past perceived voids, Black men have never seen their fathers exercise. Totally different. A black man has never seen his father go to gym. Most white men have seen their fathers in their little shorts go for a jog in the morning. The mother wears her yoga pants while dropping out of school and running into an aerobics class. You've never seen your mother exercise. You've never seen your father exercise. The only time you see your father running is when he's late for work. Now, it's a mental thing. So when this guy comes to gym, this guy, he's 150 kilos. His blood pressure is 180 over 160, but he still wants me to convince him why he has to start that. Now, you see, it's a mental, it's got nothing to do. For him, it's okay, even though his life is at risk of ending anytime short.
Right.
So we have to factor in the psychological impact that people, most people, that grew up in areas or homes where health is not valued, don't really care.
Wow. I mean, there's so much more to be said, but someone also said very wisely, we choose between two pains, the pain of discipline now or the pain of regret later. And the sheer incredible benefits of physical fitness and health and maintaining good shape are just overwhelming. There is no downside. But it requires, as you're saying, Steve, to change your habits and just to shift it. You don't need more time. You don't need more money. You just need a shift in attitude and begin to implement on a daily basis that 10, 15, 20 minutes, that 10 press-ups, 15 press-ups, 20, and quickly it grows. Steve, any final words that you want to share?
But it also has to be one of your values.
Yeah.
If health or self-care is not one of your values, it's not going to work. Men, we thrive on power. Men, we thrive on confidence. Men, we thrive on status. You know, a woman wants to lose weight. A man will come to gym if I can guarantee him that he's going to be more attractive,
right,
if he's going to be more confident, that is going to create him more money. Yes. But there is statistics. There's very good statistics from Harvard School of Medicine that shows there's a very big correlation to how much you make in life and your health.
Right.
There's a very, very big why. I mean, if you look, money, what is giving us power in here? It's electricity, which is what a current, what we call man currency. Mm-hmm. So for you to make money, you need to invest a lot of energy. Mm-hmm. You cannot invest a lot of energy if you're not physically fit.
Right.
Our mantra, Dream Body Fitness, is very simple. You need to be physically energized.
Mm-hmm.
A tired person is not a good person.
Yes.
A tired person is not a good husband, is not a good friend, is not a good father, is not a good employee. You need to be emotionally connected. You cannot be connected if you're always tired. You become reactive. You know, you have no energy. You're shouting and barking orders at other people. You need to be mentally focused. In the world we live in now, it's not about Shaka Zulu with his spear. It's not about working on the farm. To make money right now, you have to work on a higher spiritual plane. You need to focus. And you cannot focus if you don't eat right. If you don't exercise. If you don't eat right, you don't exercise, you don't sleep well.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, you need to be spiritually aligned to a cause bigger than self. Manhood is defined by the value that you bring to others.
Right.
You cannot bring value to others if you don't have your best life.
Wow. That pretty much says it all, doesn't it? Steve, thank you so much, man. Great wisdom. There's no downside, and there's also no excuse. And the benefits to being in physical shape, good shape, not necessarily having a six-pack and having the biceps, but just being in good shape, not overweight, physically in good shape, cardiovascularly in good shape, the benefits are absolutely enormous to everybody around you and to yourself. And it's one of the key things for being a force for good. It's one of the key things to being dangerous to the danger, being the best version of yourself and being the greatest impact you can have for good in the world is being healthy and fit and well and in decent shape. There are no excuses. Steve has highlighted it so clearly. And the benefits are absolutely enormous. The beautiful thing about physicality is that any age and stage of life, you can grow muscle, you can lose weight, you can increase fitness, and every single thing of your life, everything in your life, and every person in your life, starting with yourself, benefits enormously. So I would just encourage you so much, get in shape. It takes no extra money and very little extra time. Please get in shape. It's so important for being the best version of who you are. Craig Wilkinson, much love. Dangerous but good. And once again, Brother Steve, thank you so much.
Thanks. Thank you.